Okay, so I would like to continue today on our Inyanei Drush U'Machshava, Shvi Shol Pesach, and Shvi and Achron Shol Pesach, just a few more short ideas. Let's start with a short idea with regard to the Shira. Tomorrow, we all know, is the Shiras Hayam. We read from the beginning of Parshas B'Shalach through the Shira, until Ani Hashem Refecha. And in the Shira, we make mention that the Noshim V'Tan Lohem Miriam, Miriam took the women, she gathered the women, and she also sang Shira, Ashira LaHashem Ki Goyogo, O Sus V'Rochavo Ramavayam. It always bothered me, I'm sure it bothered you. Why did Miriam and the women only focus on the pasuk of Ashira LaHashem Ki Goyogo, Hashem is exalted, Sus, the horse, and its rider, Roma Vayam Hashem cast into the sea. What about the rest of the Shira? The rest of the Shira describes Nechisa V'chastecha Amzuga Alta, describes the Geula, describes the entire process of Yitzias Mitzrayim. This pasuk that Miriam focuses on is the destruction of the enemy. What about the Geula itself? So I saw a beautiful idea from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer asks a very simple question, and this really is a question of Tosfos. He quotes Tosfos. He quotes in Masechet Pesachim and Daf Peches. Chazal tell us that Noshim are chayiv in many of the in Matzah, they're chayiv in many of the mitzvahs of Pesach, and the Gemara discusses there also with regard, the same thing is true with regard to Sukkis, with Purim and Chanukah. Af hein hoyu ba'osahanes. The Nashim were also part of the miracle. Being the part of the miracle, they have to participate. On Purim, the decree of Lahashm Laharagul Avi was also upon them. And some learned the Pshan the Gemara is that Esther, she was the one who brought about the miracle. Chanukah, there was a gezerah. Every single girl had to have relations with the Hegmon. And the Yehudis, she was the one who brought about the miracle. And of course, you're dealing with Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Noshim we have, Yocheved and Miriam, they were the Mialdos, they were all part of the miracle, and the Gezerah to destroy Klal Yisrael, the Sheba was upon the men and women as well. So that's the question, what does it mean in the moment when the Gemara says, Af, also? What do you mean, also? They were the Iker, just like the men. You don't say about men, the reason why the men have to drink galakosos and the men have to drink matzah is because the men, they were also part of the miracle. Af hein hayu ba'osahanes. The men were, the miracle happened for the men. The same way the miracle happened for the men, it happened for the women. The women weren't any more of af. They also were part of the miracle. For the second-rate citizens, they were part of Klal Yisrael. They're first-rate citizens. In fact, to some degree, they're even greater because b'schus noshim tzidkanios yotzu v'mitzrayim, the women Yocheved, Miriam, Esther, Yehudis, dealing with different miracles. But what does it mean? This is the question of Tosfos. So Tosfos doesn't really answer the question. He asks the question, leaves the question hanging. The Chassam Sofer says einach nami. That's exactly the point. The women, Chazal tell us, b'schus noshim tzidkanios yatsu me'eretz Mitzrayim. And in fact, the gezerah was not even on them to a certain degree. Kol habein hayilod hayoyret hashlichu v'chol habas tichayun. The women, to a certain degree, did not suffer.
Or they would have had a marriage material.
There would have been a shidduch crisis. And the Chanan, that was part of the plan. Okay, I am panim l'Torah. But to a certain degree, the women were different. Why were they different? So the Chassam Sofer explains, because the miracle, the celebration of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the primary celebration, the very bechish, what he says, is because we didn't deserve it. We were undeserving, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done with us this incredible chesed to see in us the pintaliyit, small spark of yadus, our willingness to serve Hashem, and al shem ha'osid, b'avur ta'avnis lokim al hor hazeh, to take us to Har Sinai and to serve Hashem, He saved us. The women did not need this chesed. The women left Mitzrayim and witnessed the miracles because they deserved it. The men were on a lower level than the women. The men needed an extra dosage of chesed, lifnim yeshuras hadin, to get us out of Mitzrayim, because Hashem saw in us potential. The women lived their potential. They were tzidkaniyos. They deserved Yitzias Mitzrayim. So if that's the case is the women really don't need to celebrate to such a degree as the men, because the women earned it. They earned Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's no need for them to commemorate something that they earned for 4,000 years. They don't have to earn it. They don't have to celebrate. They earned it. It's the men who were undeserving. Hashem bestowed upon them chesed. They have to be makir toiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu li'olam. Therefore, women really should be exempt. However, Chazal say there was a little bit that the women did not deserve. Af hein hayu ba'osa hanes. Chasam Sefer says, tremendous chiddush, that we know that it's one thing to be saved from a tzara, but to witness the chorban of your enemy, that's something that it's very rare. No one is ever on a madrega where you merit to see the downfall of your enemy. Binfol oivecha al tismach. When your enemy falls, don't rejoice. And where do we learn this from? None other than Lot. When Lot left Sodom, he was not deserving to be saved from the korban of Sodom v'Amora. He only was saved in the merit of Avraham Avinu. And the Malach said, don't look back. Don't turn around and look back. Lot's wife did not listen. She turned back. She turned into a pillar of salt. She didn't listen. Binfol oivecha al tismach. So therefore, the Chasam Sefer says, although it's true the women, they were saved in their own merit, but they were not deserving to see the downfall of their enemy. That much they were not deserving. Therefore, with regard, but yet after Yitzias Mitzrayim, after Kriyas Yamsuf, the Yam spit out all of the Egyptians, everyone saw their master, everyone saw the end of Mitzrayim. Even the women. And the women were not deserving of that. That is where they are obligated to give Shevach Vaidot HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their, because that they didn't deserve. Therefore, Chazal say, Af Hein Hoyu Ba'osa Hanes. As far as the primary miracle of Yitzias Mitzrayim, they don't need to commemorate. Because B'schus Noshim Tzidkaniyos Yatzu Mimitzrayim. They earned their keep. But this extra dosage of witnessing the Churban of their enemy, that they did not deserve. And for that, they were also included in the mess, secondary to the men, who everything was undeserved for the men, everything was chesed, but this was also a chesed for the women, and therefore they also have to participate in the celebration of Yitzias Mitzrayim because of this extra dosage. And that is why specifically the only thing that Miriam sang with the men is, they focus on the churban, the destruction of their enemy. So this is a very idea from the Chasam Sefer. Let's go to another idea. On Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah, on Musaf, when the Shatz comes to the word Ayei Mikoyim Kavodo in the Kedusha of Shmona Esrei, if you look in your Machzor, there's a long, most of the Machzorim have this long prayer. And it used to be in the olden days, say, I don't think we're not so into this, but it used to be that the Shatz would be marich in the Nigun when he came to the word Ayei, Ayei Mikoyim Kavoda. Long Arichos, and why would the Shatz be marich? Similar to why the Kohanim sing before the last the words of the Berachos Kohanim in each section, to give the Tzibur time to recite a Yehi Ratzon. What is the Yehi Ratzon? You could ask for one of three, you have a choice in the Yehi Ratzon, one of three things. What are the three things? Bonim, good children, or you could ask for Parnasa, or you could ask for Ruach HaKodesh. Someone told me that Rav Chutner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, when a new Talmud would come to the yeshiva, when he would interview a new Talmud, he would, you know, you want to get a feel, what is this student, what is he all about, this new recruit for the yeshiva, where is he holding in life? So he would ask the student, on Yom Kippur, what are you mispalf? You have a choice, there are three things. What are you mispalf? Are you mispalf, or if maybe you're not mispalf, but if you would be mispalf, look at the machzor. What would you be? And it's interesting, what it shows what you're holding. What is a priority in your life? Bonim, children, Ruach HaKodesh, or Parnasa. And he used that as a springboard to engage a new Talmud in Hashkofa, What is life all about? Interesting idea.
Was there a correct answer?
No, there is no correct answer. That's exactly the point. There is no correct answer. There is no correct answer. That's exactly the point. Everyone is different. I know I have my cousin. I'm related to Soloveitchik. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, my cousin, you probably heard of him, Meir Soloveitchik. Rabbi Dr. Meir Soloveitchik, he runs a new program in YU. He's also the assistant rabbi to Rabbi Lookstein in Manhattan.
KJ.
So his grandfather is Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was very close to Rav Hutner. Rav Hutner tutored Rav Aaron Soloveitchik for many years. He taught in Chaim Berlin for Tkufa. He was very close to Rav Hutner. So he used to tell me all these fascinating stories of Rav Hutner. He knows from his grandfather. His grandfather told him incredible stories. So one of the stories I sticks in my mind is a bach would come into Rav Hutner and would say to Rav Hutner, I thought it was New Year, college, what are you majoring in? I'm majoring in history. So Rav Hutner would go, history? Go with a sin. I don't hold from history. Think better, you should major math. Do you, math? This is choshev, major in math. And he brainwashed him in 5 minutes to change his major in college. Next bacher walks and he says, no, what are you doing? You're learning. Who's your chavrus? So this, that. No, you're going to college. What are you majoring in? I'm a math major. Goes, math major? I don't hold from mathematics in college.
History.
I think you should major in history. And our footnote was very dramatic, and the way my cousin described it from his grandfather, but He wasn't doing this obviously because he felt that for this bachar he's more mesugel to major in math. And this one is more mesugel for history, and just all the dramatics are just trying to feel him out. So like you said, there's no right answer. Everyone is different. What are you mispal for? You mispal for Ruach HaKodesh, for Banim. I mean, what does it mean Ruach HaKodesh? What does that mean exactly? For Banim or for Parnasa? Everyone is different. Now, what's interesting is tomorrow is Shvi Yishol Pesach. On Shvi Yishol Pesach, you have all three. It's amazing. What happened to Kriyas Yamsuf after the Mitzrayim died and drowned? Bizas Mitzrayim, Bizas Hayom. There was millions of dollars were there for the taking. The Mitzrayim was spit out onto the dry land. They were dressed in gold and silver in their chariots. Bnei Yisrael became multi-millionaires on the spot. They were millionaires from the Bizas Mitzrayim they took out of Egypt, all of the things which were given to them. But they also became doubly wealthy from the spoils of the Am. Parnassah, unbelievable. What else happened tomorrow? Tomorrow when we reenact Kriyas Yamsuf.
One of the things that Shivcha
Hayam was. Ro'asa Shivcha Shebayam, Mashaloi Roha Yecheskel Ben Buzi. The simplest person in Klal Yisrael had Gilui Shechina, Ruach HaKodesh. And I saw a very nice there, he explains. If that's the Shivcha, so the one that was a Shtikl Talmud Chacham, you could imagine what he saw. And the one that was a bigger Talmud Chacham and the Gedolei Hador, you can imagine what they saw. And the Alachas Kam V'Kama, what Moshe Rabbeinu, what he was able to see at Kriyas Yamsuf.
But I heard another thing.
Yeah.
Shmuel says the Shivcha remained a Shivcha.
Even though, because it was a free come, easy come, easy go. Easy come, easy go. That's true. But still, they did have that experience of. They were different people. Even though it was a shivcha, it had to be. She was a different shivcha for the rest of her life. She may not have taken advantage of what was given to her at that moment in time. Easy come, easy go. But there was a degree of gilu shchina. So this is the other thing we ask for in the other choice. Yeah. What else do we have? Is a medish. Rabbi Miller will have to tell me where the medrash is, that when that we know that kol abein hayiloid hayoret hashlichu, we know that in Mitzrayim, the Egypt, they're conflicting midrashim. They're conflicting midrashim, but according to one medrash, every time the Mitzrayim, they took a child, if the Jewish people did not meet their quota of producing enough bricks, they would take the children, their babies, snatch them from the mothers, and put them into the cement, and put them into the walls. That's what it says. That the brutality was beyond our imagination of what the Egyptians did to the Jewish people, how they snatched their babies and killed them in front of their mother's eyes. There's a medrash. Okay, it's hard to understand what this medrash means, because one medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu complained, how could you allow this to happen? And Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, all of these children, they would be Rishoyim. And therefore, don't question Hashem's ways. And Moshe didn't believe Hashem, so Hashem said to Moshe, okay, take two. Any two you want, take, and let's see what becomes of them. Moshe took two children out of the wall, two were spared, and they turned into Dasan va'Aviron, which caused Moshe Rabbeinu to hack the tzaris for the rest of his life. So that's one medrash. But there's another medrash that says that Moshe Rabbeinu, that all of the children that were drowned by the Egyptians and were killed, were immediately, it was only an optical illusion. They were immediately taken by Malachim, by angels, and they were taken to the other side of the Yam, whatever that means, because they really came back to the same side, and they were cared for during these years. And after Bnei Yisrael came out of the Yam, they saw their children. Can you imagine the scene like Tchias HaMesim? They saw all their beautiful children were cared for by these Malachim all of these years. Are you familiar with this Medrash?
I've heard of it. Yeah.
You've heard this Medrash. So it's a popular Medrash. All of the children that were killed and the parents had such Agmas Nefesh, all of a sudden appeared as they came out of the Yam on the other side. They were cared for. So if all three, unbelievable. If all three, these are all came out. This is a major event. The children, because the whole gezer began with kol habein hayiloid hayoira tashlichuhu. It's unbelievable. The tzar, all those children were killed. All of a sudden, they weren't killed. Here they are. They were all spared. Here they are. So we have three major events happening tomorrow. We reenact Kriyas Yamsef. We have Gilui Shechina, Roa Shivcha Shabiyam Ashlo Yichazk Lebuzi. That's a big event. Bizas Yam. And we have the Rabbanim. Now, I once told this discussion with Yirotzen on Yom Narayim. So someone said to me a very similar question. What's the big deal? I said all three. You have a choice of one of three? What kind of question? I thought to take the Talmud into the office. If I was there, he would take me to the office. He would say to me, what do you want? You want Banim, Parnasa, or Ruach HaKodesh? I would say I want all three. I can read very quickly. I'll read them all. I'll say it all. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? It's a very good kasha. So why then is it a choice? So the answer is very important. This is very Ruba de Ruba. Okay, this is not 100%, but it's 99.9%. The proof is, go look out in the world. You can't have everything in life. This is the mitzvah. You can't. You have to have priorities. If you want to be a multimillionaire and you want to go on that derech, you have to. There are trade-offs. You're not going to be able to be sitting and learning the whole day and coming with a Ruach HaKodesh. If you want to invest koichos in your children, that they should be Yerei Shamayim, there's a trade-offs. You can't spend the whole day working to make, you know, there's no such thing as quality time unless there's quantity time. And if you have a job where you pay by the hour, you're not going to be able to be a multimillionaire if you're going to put the koichos that are needed to mechanech children. You're not going to be able to sit and learn either. If you want to raise children the right way, you have to give up from your learning. You have to have in life priorities. This is a mitzvah. It's not shaykh to have everything. There are people, let's not be, there are yechidim. One in a million have everything. Or there's one in a million that have two of the three things. But that's the way the world is. This is the way the world is. That Kadosh Baruch Hu gives bracha, some people are bracha of children, some are bracha of parnasa, some are bracha of ruach hakodesh, whatever that means, a high degree of spirituality. It's very weird to have everything. You have to have priorities. Tomorrow is really, on a much larger scale, Shvi Shlo Pesach, this inyan of Yehi Ratzon, that you mispalel on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you come to Kedusha, people are thinking, whatever they think. It's a little Yehi Ratzon. But the whole theme of tomorrow are these three things. Tomorrow, Shvi Shlo Pesach, Yis Yam Suf, we are reenacting. It's not just Tama, we're reminiscing. When you reenact the 7 days of Pesach, You are reliving the experience. Shvi Yishtol Pesach, we relive the experience of Kriyas Yamsuf. There are three things that present itself tomorrow. Bonim, Oysher, and
Ruach
HaKodesh. You have to think about it. What's your priority? I know it could be at different points in life, different kufas in life, you have different priorities. Person first raises children, and then it's time, you have parnasa, and then it's, or then after, another time, Ruach HaKodesh. Different kufas in life, it's not necessarily a contradiction. But every given moment in time, you have to have a priority, and that's something to think about tomorrow when we come to Shvi Yishtol Pesach. What?
I don't ask Hashem for good health. At a certain age, my age, it's probably the most priority thing I want in life.
I don't know the answer. You're saying very good.
More than panos.
You're saying maybe that's included. Maybe that's included in parnasa. I don't know. You're saying very good. I don't know the answer to your question. You're saying something very, very
money
good.
Isn't everything.
Why is it?
Money isn't everything. Health is 5%.
But it's also, that's perhaps why Israel, why Yom Kippur in the Kiddushay? Why whoever may compose this tefillah?
You
why?
Life, you know, Chaim. That's why I understand. The most important thing Yom Kippur is Chaim. You want to live another year.
Is it? Is that really? You look a lot of Farsh. A lot of Farsh said that's not the tefillah. Even though we say Chaim, it means.
Zochreinu lechaim.
Is one of the most famous relics from the Chavetz Chaim. Is Zochreinu lechaim. What kind of life? Melech Chofetz Bachem, a type of life that Hashem wants. So Chofetz Chaim interprets, it doesn't necessarily mean life. I mean life, of course, if you're not healthy, then you have nothing. It goes without saying. But you should have a type of life that Kodesh Baruch Hu has nachas ruach.
Yeah,
a life that's honesty, and you learn a little bit, and you do what you're supposed to do. That's a type of life you can style for on Rosh Hashanah Kippur. So Chayinu L'chaim, what kind of life? A life melech chofetz b'chaim, a life that Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. What does that mean? Why would the one who composed this Yiratzon did not include good health? I don't know the answer. Maybe it's because, that's what I'm trying to say, is that this tefillah of Yiratzon appears to come from Shvi Yishtol Pesach. Because Shvi Yishtol Pesach, the main themes were these. Health wasn't an issue. Why not? I don't know, even though we have Ki Ani Hashem Rafecha, the last words of learning tomorrow is Refuah. Kol HaMachla Asher Samti V'Mitzrayim Lo Yosef Manoch Ki Ani Hashem Rafecha. But the major themes of Shvi Yishtol Pesach are these three themes. Zeh Keli V'Anveyu, Ruach HaKodesh, there's Bizas Mitzrayim, and there are Bonim. And perhaps that's where this tefillah came from. And why, and just, it's just interesting, is that since the Mitzvah says that the way that when you say the Yiratzon, you're not supposed to say all three, you're supposed to choose one of the three. And the reason why you choose one of the three is to bring out, the person should recognize that don't try to have everything. If you try to have everything, you'll have nothing. You have to have priorities, and you have to know at different periods of life, you have different priorities. Again, the person is young, the priority is children, obviously. And then after that's going good, I guess you have to have parnasa, because you don't become a ganef. You're not going to have parnasa, you're in a lot of trouble. Maybe first comes parnasa, then comes children. It's machlokes the Rambam. The Rambam says anyone that first gets married before he has parnasa is a tibish. But that's not, but everyone, we know that that's not the way all the Mepharshim, the Kesef Mishnah says, that don't listen to the Rambam, because listen to the Rambam, then you'll get nowhere. Then you'll have nothing. So, different kufas in life, different priorities, and L'chorev comes from Shvi Yishtol Pesach. Okay, let me go to another idea. Let's go to idea, why is it called, okay, this is a short idea, why is it called Acharon Shel Pesach? We don't call the second day of Shavuos Acharon Shel Shavuos. We don't call the last day of Sukkos Acharon Shel Sukkos. We call it Shmini Atzeres. Why only with regard to Pesach is the last day called Acharon? So it's a very beautiful word from the Bnei Yisrael. I think others say it as well, is that it says in Amos and other sources that Yimos HaMashiach, the miracles of Mashiach will be so great, Yitzias Mitzrayim will no longer be an ikar. There are two opinions in the Gemara. According to one opinion, we will no longer even mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. It will pale in comparison to the miracles of Yimos HaMashiach. We're going to forget about it. The other opinion in the Gemara is no chas v'shalom to say lahav Yimos HaMashiach, to say we're not going to remember Yitzias, we'll always remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, but it's not going to be the ikar. It's going to be a tofel. It will be a miracle. We don't say Tachna. Because it was once upon a time when Yitzias Mitzrayim, we remember what happened, because the miracles of Moshe Mashiach will be so great, so more encompassing, that will be the end. So what we're really doing when we come to Pesach is we're hoping this will be our last Pesach, the way we know it. Today Pesach is the major holiday. It's the first holiday of the year. It is the holiday which establishes our national identity. Pesach is the formation of Klal Yisrael. We've left Mitzrayim. This is the big deal. This is it. It's the Ikar. But we're hoping that the last day of Pesach should be Acharon Shel Pesach. It shall be the last. That by next year, Mashiach should have already come. Our Mashiach v'lo yoyma oid chai Hashem asher helev asher hevi yas b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Yisrayim. And l'chai Hashem, it's the Pasuk Namas, l'chai Hashem that took us out of our golos, kibbutz golos, brought us to Eretz Yisrael, brought Mashiach. That's, so this is going to be the last Pesach as we know it, Acharon Shel Pesach. I'm going to tell you another short vart. Now this is a little interesting, we have some little controversy in this vart. What is the Haftarah for Shvihi Shel Pesach? Shiras David. Shiras David. It's interesting that when we lay the Shira on Parashas B'Shalach, we lay in Shiras Devoira. Right? We have the Haftarah parallels the Kriyas HaTorah. Why? There's a lot of discussion. What's the purpose of the Haftarah? Haftarah was originally enacted Pashtus because of a gezeru wouldn't lay in. So they were misaken to lay in certain Haftarahs. It used to be you can lay whatever you want. Today it became the minhag. There's a lot of history in the Haftarah. A lot of history. But the bottom line is, Hashgacha Pratis, we have a certain, it's established what we lay in for the Haftarah. On Parshas B'Shalach, we lay in Shiras Devorah. And on Shvi Shel Pesach, we lay in Shiras David. Okay, so I'm not going to focus on Shiras, I'm going to focus on Shiras David. We lay in tomorrow the Song of David. David, at the end of his life, after he was, not the end of his life, but in the middle of his life, after he established his Malchus, he sang to Hashem, it's in Shmuel Beis, I think the end of Shmuel Beis, Perichov Beis, what? Chov Beis, Shmuel Beis, Perichov Beis, he sang a beautiful, elaborate Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He composed the Shira. And that's what we lay in tomorrow. And Farshan, tell us, why do we lay in Shiras David? So the symbol is, there's Shira for the Klal, and Shira for the Prat, for the Yachid. Two types of Shira. A person should not make a mistake and think, oh, the only time I am obligated to sing Shira Kadosh Baruch Hu is for Klal Yisrael. When it's for the Tzibur. The whole Klal Yisrael was spared, I'm going to join in Shira. But if I am a recipient of a private salvation, there's no need to sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a mistake. The individual has to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for personal salvation as well. David HaMelech was singing private.
Would that apply today? Example, you get saved from a major illness. You get saved from a major.
Yes, so yeah, there's a din of Suda Saida. There are halachos in Shulchan Aruch. You have to make Birchas HaGoymel. There's Birchas HaGoymel, you make Suda Soida, people give a tzedakah, a person is spared from an illness, so a person gives tzedakah.
But you don't have to create a shira.
Well, you don't have to compose your own shira. You should say L'choy, a few kapitel of Tehillim, you should say Mizmor L'soda. I mean, there are different ways to do things. A person makes a Suda Soida, so they should say during the Suda Soida, you should say a Mizmor. Absolutely. You should take one of the kapitel of Tehillim, Yeskerov, say Mizmor L'soda, or you say Mizmor Shirchanukas Bais L'David. There are different Mizmor which a person should say publicly, recognizing that he has been spared from a very great sorrow. There are ways to do it. Okay, there are ways to do it. You have to, under the guidance of halacha, yes. I mean, there are ways, things that should be done. So that's the point, what Chazal trying to tell us. There's a shira for the klal and a shira for the prat. I want to say a little different knetch and why we have Shiras David. And then to understand this, we have to know that the Shiras David is repeated twice in Tanakh. It appears in Shmuel Beis, and where else does it appear? And ooh, you know the talking, unbelievable. Tell him Yud Chaswa.
One is Migdal, one is
Oh, that's one difference. There are many differences. So the words of the Shira is repeated kmat mila b'mila in Mizmar Yudches in Tehillim. All the Mefarshim ask, why in the world is there repetition in Tanakh? What's going on? What do we have in Shmuel Beis and in Tehillim? So the truth is, they're not exactly the same. There are a number of very minor differences. The most classic, which everyone knows, is the very end. Tomorrow we're going to read Migdol Yeshua Smalko. Take note tomorrow and after Migdol. And during the week, and until him, it says Magdil.
I heard that. Magdil.
Wow. So some want to say it's a princess like Shmuel Beis and Achlan. Some want to say Shabbos, the princess like that. That arises in the famous Torah.
He says, yeah, I read that.
In Tehillim, in Shmuel Beis, it says Migdol. The Messiah is Migdol. In Tehillim, it's Magdil. So simply, okay, forget about the printer's mistake. Pasha Pshad is, some are very upset with that Pshad. They don't like that. They're very disturbed with the printer's mistake approach. Pasha Pshad is that on Shabbos, it's a higher Madrega. On Shabbos, okay, what it means is not for now, but on Shabbos and Yom Tov we say Migdol, and during the week we say the Pasuk from Tehillim Migdol. That's only one difference. There are many more differences. There are many differences, not for now, but the Mefarshim will say, what's the Pshad in all the differences? The answer is as follows. David said the Shira twice in his life, or composed the Shira twice. The first time he composed it was before the sin of Bathsheba. The Pasuk tells us, at the end of, it was in the Malachim, at the end of Shmuel, that David went, was a tzadik gomer. He followed in the ways of Hashem. The only mistake he made, levad mi Uriah hachiti. The whole story with Uriah hachiti, how he sent out to battle Uriah, he took his wife, Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and he covered it up by sending Uriah out to battle to die. His Rabbi Malchus, kolo oimer David chata ein elatoya. Whatever this means, that's not the point I want to get into now. David was perfect. Perfect. There was no defect in David. The only thing was Uriah Hachiti, the Maisa of Bathsheba and Uriah. Okay. The Farshim tell us that the Shira of David that appears in the Sefer Shmuel was before the Chet. The Shir, the song in Tehillim, with all of the minor differences, there are then the Grah, goes through all the differences, was after the Chet. At that point in time, David's Madrega was diminished. His level of spirituality was not the same. It was slightly diminished. How could that possibly be? But Kolayma Davachat En Elatoya, I don't know. It's very complicated. There's a lot of Torah on this, but it was a lower level. But the higher level was what we read tomorrow. We only read from Nevi'im. The Haftarah is only from the Nevi'im. So here's the point I want to make. The Shir that we learn tomorrow, Chazal tell us, is not complete. It's really Al Shem Ha'asit. Oz Yashir Moshe. The Shir that Moshe Rabbeinu sang was partial. It was incomplete. Because this was a template. What happened in Mitzrayim, the Geula of Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, was just a template for what will happen one day in Yemos HaMashiach. And the Shir that Moshe sang, of course, it can be interpreted literally to fit into the event that happened at the time, but really it's alluding to much greater, more grander events that will happen in the time of Mashiach, and that's why the whole Shir is Al Shem HaOsid, Oz Yashir B'Lashon Osid. Moshe will one day come back to life at the time of Mashiach, and will witness these incredible miracles, and then will sing the Shir the way it was meant to be sung. So it turns out that the Shir that we sing tomorrow is incomplete. It's Al Shem Ha'os. I'll give you a little example. I don't know if I told this to you. Datzach Adash V'Achav. Did I tell this to you in the Haggadah? Why the Rabbi Yehuda Ha'yodos Ma'am Simonim? He gave Simonim. Datzach Adash V'Achav. So Shibshah is because like this, not like in Tehillim. But some of the Darshan said because Rabbi Yehuda wants to make a point that what happened in Mitzrayim was just a template of what will happen in the future. And you think Dam has already happened? Just the Dalid happened in Egypt. There's more to come. The man has yet to come. You think Tzvardeya happened already? No, that was just a mashal. What happened in Egypt was just a mashal. Just it's Ki'il was just a tzadi of Tzvardeya. You still have yet to come the pay, the dalet, Tzvardeya. The other letters of Tzvardeya have yet to come. Hayim Noisen Bohem Simonim Datzach Adash V'Achav. This is just what happened in Egypt, was just the tip of the iceberg. It's a template what has yet to happen. So it comes out that the Shira, the whole event of Yitzias Mitzrayim, it was a miracle without any question. Chas Shom to say otherwise. It's Mamash Kefira. It's a miracle. It was Nisim Gluyim. But it's also a template for what has yet to come. So it's not yet, and you have to sing Shira. You have to sing Shira al Shem Ha'asit. David, when he sang Shira, he sang Shira on a madrega which could not be sustained. Now what that means exactly is not clear. But David in Shmuel Bey sang Shira on a very high level. That high level could not be maintained. It was diminished. Because it had to be, there had to be an Uriah and a Basheva. It had to be like this. This high level of Migdal Yeshuel Smalko would not remain forever. It would be diminished in his lifetime. There would be Uriah Hachiti, Basheva. He would go down from Shmuel Beis, Perikov Beis, to Tehillim Perik Yud Ches on a lower level. Magdil Yeshuel Smalko. And a whole other list, a whole slew of other shinuyim, which will represent a lower madrega. So the purpose of bringing these two shiros together is to teach you the full gamut. Sometimes you sing shira, an incomplete shira. You get a taste. A person gets a peek into what Hashem is capable of. A person has problems, and you get a little salvation. It's not a complete salvation, but you get a tam. You get a tam of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable of doing. So you could sing Shira al Shem, you mechuyif to sing Shira al Shem Ha'asit. And sometimes a person gets a taste the other way around. A person has a tzara, and he gets a temporary Yeshua. And the Yeshua is incredible. It's miraculous. It's l'malo mederech hateva. Okay, and you know it's not going to be forever. You know, no, but at least for the time. At least for the next year, 2-3 years. Wow, I didn't deserve this. I didn't see this coming. It's not going to be forever. No, but at least I'm thankful for what I have now. I cannot sustain this. So don't think, listen, you're getting a salvation. It's only for temporary. It's only for now, tomorrow, for the next day. I can't sustain it. I'm not mechuyif to sing Shira. That's what you learn from David. David's madrego could not be sustained. And that's why there had to be another Shira of David in Tehillim, Perik Yud Ches, on a lower level, Magdil, not Migdal. But David still sang Shira at the time. So that's the point I want to make, is you have the two Shiras are going from different directions. It's a Shira which is incomplete, but it's Al Shem Ha'asit. You get a taste, Al Shem Ha'asit. The Haftorah is, it's incredible. It's not going to last. But you still sing Shira for what you have now. Two different levels. Again, the puffin shot is, there's the Shira of the Klal, and the Shira of the Prat, the Tzibur, and the Yachid. But now I want to add one little point. This is very interesting. Now, if you go take out of Yeshai, you go to many, many shul states, very popular today, that you lay in the Haftar from Klaf. Right, when you daven, they lay it from cloth after.
Yeah.
But some shuls they lay it from cloth. It's an area to show they're very big into this. Traditionally, how do you write the shira? How do you write the shira as yashir? Ariyah hagabi levena.
Like bricks.
Stable. Chazal say it's kayam. It's stable.
Alternating as opposed.
How do you write the shira of hazinu? Straight. That's a very. The Gemara, it's very strange. The Gemara doesn't talk about Hazinu. It's a very mysterious why Hazinu. Very mysterious why Hazinu is two columns. The Gemara does discuss the Shira of the Lamed Aleph King, the 31 kings,
Hazinu,
and the Aseres B'nei Haman. And the Gemara, it's very mysterious. I never saw an answer. I don't know why. Yes, people don't know Hazinu. Let's put Hazinu on the side. Okay, I want to put Hazinu away on the side for now. I don't know how Hazinu fits into the picture. But let the Gemara focuses Shira Sayam, bricks, and focus on the 31 kings and
on the Aseres B'nei.
The Gemara does not focus on Koheles, the ace, the 28
Etim.
Okay, that is ignored. I don't know why. And Hazinu is ignored. What? No, they're not on the side. Only these. I think we covered everything. As far as we've covered everything. the 28 Etim and Hazinu, but these and the Gemara because Aseres Mehaman are stacked because it's not sustainable. That's exactly the point. You cannot stack up a pile like this all the way to the sky. It's going to collapse. And that's exactly the point. We don't want there to be a tekuma. The Aseres Mehaman have to collapse. We want them to be destroyed. The 31 kings of Eretz Yisrael, our enemies, they have to collapse. Oz Yashir, this is solid. This is building. This is not going nowhere. This is the shoe. This is solid. Solid. But the Aseres Mehaman, bang, they're going to collapse. The kings, they're going to collapse. It's not sustainable.
Hazina was written in phrases. There's more than one or two words on each column.
Okay, it's
that makes it more stable. The other two, there's only one
that's
word.
That's a very good point. A very valid point. It's interesting. It's not words. It's complicated. I don't know. You're saying it's very good. We have to be more into this. Now, here's something that's very interesting. This is very interesting. This is a big. It's very controversial. Very controversial. How is the Shira? Let's take a step back. How is Shira's Devar written? As far as I remember, it's written just like the Shiras Yam in the Klaf. Shiras Yam, Ariach HaLeveina. How is Shiras David written? How is Shiras David in Shmuel Beis? Next time you go to a Shul that has Klaf, Shmuel Beis, open up the Shmuel. All of the old traditional Klafim that are, you go into a Shul, like Shiras Hayam. Ariach al gabe levena. That's how it's written. Go take out all of the old classic traditional klavim. The Keter al amtsayva. You know, that's the Aleppo Codex. That was in Aleppo. It was on the whole story, which was hidden and which was not available, and so on and so forth until recent times. Part of it was destroyed in the riots in 1948. The whole story. It's very controversial. Is this the codex which the Rambam used to tell us the psuchos? The Rambam wrote a Sefer Torah and he used this. Many believe that is correct. We have a tradition that the Rambam used the Aleppo Codex. This is the most authoritative version of Tanakh in the existence of this world. So there, guess what? Lo and behold, the Shiras David is written two columns. Unbelievable. And this is not like our tradition. Our tradition, this is where you get into what do you do when you have tradition? Tradition. And then you discover, based on solid evidence, that our tradition is wrong. What do you follow? Do you follow tradition? Almost all of our Sifrei Tanakh that are written in Klaf are written, Shiras David is written, Ariach HaLeveina, or do you follow what appears to be scientific data, which seems to tell us that we're wrong? So this is a very, very big, very big controversy. It's explosive. It's not negeah. It's negeah spellings of certain words. In the Torah, we don't really have it. There's all the whole child of zecher amolek. In the Aleppo Codex, supposedly it says zecher, not zecher. It's been destroyed. It's been burned. But we have records of what it said there. It's interesting because dealing with little teeny dots. Okay, but it's the chayyah we have a mesar from the Allah. It's in the Lebekol. It's zecher. There are many gedolei Yisrael on different sides of the fence. What's the echo? Shall we now follow Allah? And now in the Vim, it's a very big problem because the psuchos and the stumos of the Aleppo Codex is very different than the psuchos and stumos of our traditional Sifrei Tanakh that you'll find in all of the open up the Aron Kodesh and all these old shuls. You'll take out the klaf and you'll see that it's not like the psuchos and stumos. So some gedolim say tradition is the ikar. Whatever we have, that means continue writing all the psuchos and stumos, but continue writing the Shiras David or Riach al Gavi Levena. But others, if I'm not mistaken, if Chaim Kinyavsky, I believe, he says that we really don't have a mesora for Nevi'im. The mesora for Chumash we have, it's very solid. But the mesora for Nevi'im and Ksuvim, Psuchos and Stumos and things like that, is very weak. And he's of the opinion we should follow the Aleppo Codex. And there are many, what I understand is that the majority, I could be I'm wrong, so anything I say, a lot of this he shows in Reisman's book. Reisman has a fascinating book called Pathway to the Prophets. there in the back, he has the Aleppo Codex. He talks about a lot of these things. And if I'm not mistaken, today in Eretz Yisrael, I think all of the new klafim are written, Rubud Ruba are written like the Aleppo Codex. They're written like that. And that means the Shira of David, of the Haftarah tomorrow, is written in two columns, not Arich Agabe Levena. Very interesting. By the way, when else do you read Shiras David? Hazinu. So be very good. Hazinu, the Haftarah is a parallel. It's beautiful, because then it comes out that on Shabbos Shira, when you lay in the Pash B'Shalach, you're letting Devorah. Devorah is also Arich Agabe Levena. It's a parallel. Hazinu is a Arich Agabe Levena, and Devorah is a Arich Agabe Levena. L'chol Ades. Hazinu, it's two columns. Yilein also the Haftarah of tomorrow. Yilein the Shiras David. Two columns for the lading, two columns for the Haftarah. But what about Shvi Yishol Pesach? Shvi Yishol Pesach, Yileining Oz Yashir, Arich Gabi Levena, and Yileining Shiras David. According to the Aleppo Codex, it's two columns. So my idea, it's very good, because that's the whole point of learning Shiras David. Shiras Hazinu is al Shem Ha'osit. We're not roy for Shiras Hazinu today. Shiras Hazinu is Ruach HaKodesh, it's Nevuah. It's not a, it's just a mashal for us of what's going to be Elias Elovo. It's al Shem Ha'osit. And that's why it's Arich Gabi Levena, because it's solid as can possibly be. Shiras David was only temporary. David could not sustain this madrega. There had to be a Sefer Tehillim where he would rewrite Shiras David on a lower level. It's not sustainable. There it's not written. Tehillim, there's no such thing as, it's not column. There it's written just written straight. There's no psukim. Why? That's why it's written in two columns. Just like the Gemara says that when you write something in two columns, by Haman, Aseres Nehaman, and by the 31 kings, the reason why it's in two columns, because it's not sustainable. We don't want it. We want it to collapse. We want the Aseres Nehaman to collapse. That's exactly the same thing for Shiras David. It's written Bedavka, according to the Aleppo Codex, in two columns, Al Derech Drush, because it was not sustainable. This song of David could not be maintained. There had to be a Sefer Tehillim where it would be written again with Shinuyim, to represent a more practical, lower level of Shira. And that's why, so it goes together. We lay in the Shira al Shem Ha'asid. You have to sing Shira even though you're not holding by it, but you get a taste of what's come to come. You have a chiv to sing Shira. And you have to sing Shira when you get a temporary solution to your problem, even though you realize it's not going to be a permanent solution. You also have to sing Shira. And that's what we learn from them. That's how these two ideas, they come together. Okay? Have a wonderful Yom Tov, a chachosh of a sameach, and may it be the acharon shel Pesach.